Remember the feeling of rushing home from school, tossing your backpack on the floor, and turning on the TV just in time for the afternoon block of cartoons? Way back when life was all about schoolyard rivalries and making it home before the streetlights came on? Well, what if those Saturday morning vibes collided with an action-packed sci-fi adventure? In the new comic, The Ruth Avenue Raiders, the best, and let's be honest, the cockiest elementary school football team on Ruth Ave is about to face a defensive line unlike anything they've ever seen. We're talking interdimensional robots from Sector 7. When these kids are challenged to a match where the stakes are way higher than just bragging rights, they realize their old playbook won't save them. It's a hilarious, action-packed story about friendship, teamwork, and learning to step out of your comfort zone, all before the sun goes down. If you know a young reader looking for a new graphic novel, or if you grew up on the heart of Hey Arnold, the playground politics of Recess, or the what-could-go-wrong energy of Dexter's Lab, this is the book you've been waiting for. It's The Sandlot Meets Transformers, created by Mad Cave Studios Talent Search winner Damian Becton and artist Marina Otegua Ruiz. The Ruth Avenue Raiders is now live on Kickstarter, and you do not want to miss the kickoff. Head over to www.ruthavenueraiders.com right now to secure your copy of The Ruth Avenue Raiders, only available until June 24th. By joining the squad early, you'll stay in the loop and get access to exclusive early bird rewards and updates that won't be available anywhere else. That's www.ruthavenueraiders.com. Help us bring this 90s-inspired adventure to life. Win or go Chrome.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are coming to you live from a couple of places on the internet. We are live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Pete's favorite for all his gaming needs. We're live on Instagram, LinkedIn, of course, if you want to hire any of us for, I don't know, like AI positions or anything like that, that would be great.
I think we should be more specific with what positions we want in our LinkedIn proposal. I feel like just asking for general work.
For jobs?
Dicey.
Okay. Did you forget to say Kick? Are we no longer
We're on Kick. We're on Kick.
We're getting
tonight.
To Kick.
We haven't kicked Kick this week. Okay, Pete. Maybe you're listening later. Maybe you're listening later on podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, etc. You know, there's ads on there. If you want ad-free versions of our podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. You can hang out with us all day long on Discord and just like chillax, man. You know,
so, wow,
that's pretty cool. That.
I love the combination of those two words. It makes me feel so much more comfortable. Is Kick a soccer platform? Are we secretly like hooligans over here?
Oh, that'd be fun.
No, wait, I knew this. It's not.
You drank enough to be in hooligan.
No, I don't think.
No, I
don't
think hooligan status.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think it's specifically a live streaming platform for soccer. I think it's a gaming platform like Twitch, but like even more hardcore. I might have that wrong.
Yeah, nothing like an old dude.
Yeah, it's like on the dark web.
I'm glad, exactly.
The dark web. I forgot to mention you guys. I'm selling your flesh. Is that okay?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we have amazing guests we got to get to, right?
We do, and we are not going to sell their flesh, though they do have a very spooky, scary comic book about selling flesh. That's not what it's about at all. We'll get into it. They are the creators behind IDW's Operation Iron Coffin, which is going to be hitting stores on July 8th, but final order cutoff is June 1st. So this is right on time to hear all about it. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Porter and Tyrell Cannon. Kenny and Tyrell,
welcome!
Hey!
You're
going to the show.
Hey!
Kenny, great seeing you again. Tyrell, great seeing you. Thanks so much for coming and talking about this book. This book is great. It's a ton of fun. We got an advanced look at it. We won't spoil too much here, but the concept is out there, which is that during World War II, Dracula is dropped in the Iron Coffin of the title into a train that is full of Nazis that are breeding monsters, and he's got to fight his way to the front. And that's pretty much, I mean, there's more that happens, obviously, over the course of the series, but that's enough of a high concept hook. Kenny, this is probably for you, but like, was that the thing? Did you like write Dracula versus Nazis and then work your way back from there? Or where did this come from?
It was actually the visual first of them dropping the coffin like a bomb. Like, and I've described to like, I called Tyrell and I was like, here are the pitch pages. Bomber flies in. drops a bomb. We zoom in. It's not a bomb. It's a metal coffin. Coffin goes through back of train, smashes Nazis. Dracula comes out. And he was like, that's awesome. What's the story, though, Kenny? And I was like, crap. That's
not short pitch, my guy.
Yeah. So I only thought of the teaser trailer, but then from there we worked out like the emotional journey and everything he goes from. But it was the visual first that kind of hooked me.
Well, so Tyrell, once you heard that visual, what did you start leading into? What really grabbed you about this idea? Because you have like a very different looking Dracula here. You definitely, there's some other designs. I don't know how much you want to talk about, particularly in the first issue, that come to play as well. So what started the ball rolling for you?
Well, that initial image is really striking, right? Of this bomb dropping down, but also the idea of him emerging from this coffin like a dangerous weapon, just ready to take on all these evil bad guys. And I've always been a huge Dracula fan, and so that's why I was immediately saying to Kenny, "Well, what's the story here? It can't just be somebody else's Dracula. You know, there's got to be our Dracula." And so I wanted our Dracula to feel really dangerous and sleek and old, but also like still have that allure that Dracula has throughout the novel and through other things, where he almost kind of can suck people in. Kenny,
the eyes. Sorry to interrupt you, but the eyes do it right on what you're saying. Like the sharpness of the eyes and the forward motion, like a train that Dracula is exhibiting here, it makes him so dynamic. I feel like.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we wanted him to be a dynamic, dangerous character, but then have the ability to be expressive in these other moments too. And so I tried to work as much of all those different elements in the design as I could. And, you know, with the long hair and the long coat and stuff that's going to accentuate his actions, but also his stillness.
Yeah, I was really impressed while we're talking about the art. For an older gentleman, he's very fast and powerful, so it's always great to see those action sequences.
Older gentleman.
But, like, it's almost had like an anime or manga kind of a style to the fighting, which was so badass and fun to see. I mean, we're mixing up a lot of things in this, but, man, the fight scenes were really spectacular.
Oh, thank you so much. And definitely anime and manga are big influences on both Kenny and I. And so I think that there's a visual element that comes from those types of media, but also maybe some pacing and story type elements too. You know, we're both fans of things like the Guyver and, you know, Dragon Ball Z and Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust and, you know, Ninja Scroll. So we wanted those cool villains and we wanted that, but also that banter that happens between them.
Kenny, given there has been so many stories about vampires and Dracula in particular, what for you was the in on the character there? I know you touched on this a little bit, but like what makes him different so you feel like you're not just reiterating the same thing?
Oh, totally. Yeah, that's a great question. That was really key to us doing this take because we wanted to make sure that we weren't just telling another Dracula story, but like Tyrell said, our Dracula story. So I'm a huge fan of the original novel, and there's a point at the end, which, spoilers for anybody who hasn't read the novel or knows Dracula's story, he don't make it at the end of the, when they kill Dracula at the end of the book, Mina Harker, who he's been tormenting and pursuing, notices that when his head is separated from his body, his face changes and has almost like a more human and content look on it. And that always really captured my imagination. So I started thinking about all these stories where he gets resurrected. He just kind of comes back and there's no real reason behind it. So in this, we wanted to include a real like Faustian bargain about why he's coming back, what his mission is. And throughout the story, we'll see him go on this emotional journey of redemption and dealing with the horrible things that he's done. Because we don't let him off the hook. Like, it isn't just like, he's a good guy now. It's like, I was a monster, like literally and figuratively. And now there's a bigger monster that's out there that humanity has birthed. So we juxtapose that against it while he's dealing with this bargain that he's made where he gets his powers back and he gets his life back. But there's a big uh-oh moment when he realizes that things aren't exactly the way they were back in the novel. So that was really important in the story as well as juxtaposing. Like, what's the difference between like a classic universal monster, which he's arguably the most popular one, versus a man-made monster like the Nazis back in World War II.
Well, what is it about trains? I feel like we love trains.
They're cool.
And with their, yeah, they are cool. But I feel like people don't like to travel on trains, but we like stories on trains. What's going on here with us?
I don't know. We built this society wrong. Like, other countries have it right. They really invested in the rail system. At least in this, we get to live out our fantasy of how cool trains are with Dracula and Nazis to shreds on it, like a Spawn Indiana Jones crossover sort of thing.
Tyrell, I was just going to ask you, sorry to stay on the train bent, but how do you make sure that it stays fresh when you're setting things? I mean, I know the train cars do change a little bit, but like, it's a very confined space, as you may be aware. Mm. So how do you make sure it stays visually interesting?
It's really tricky to find that balance, because we want to make sure people feel the kind of urgency that you have in an enclosed setting, like a train, or, you know, say you're trapped in a building. You know, those are the kind of movies and games and stuff we reference a lot. And I think that part of it is we do have some cutaways and stuff, flashbacks and whatnot. But then also, when I'm also doing the colors on this book, which is kind of a different thing for me. And one of the things I try to use is color. And so different characters might have different colors associated with them. And as they encounter, say, a new villain, maybe that car or the train has a not only a different look to it, but a slightly different color palette. Another thing is thinking about, you know, at the very beginning of the book, we show the whole train in a few shots to kind of make sure that people understand the scale of what we're working with here. And then I could also, there's a spread where I show basically all the different cool cars we're going to end up in as the series progresses. And so I think revealing some of the geography early on helps, and then finding those little, you know, touches you can do with color and with design of each car to make it feel different. There's a lot of creative licenses too, right? I mean, it is a giant train, so the cars are much bigger, so we could put a lot more in there. And then once I'm in a car, you know, space might get a little bit funky sometimes, but all in the name of good action and fun storytelling.
Yeah, I don't really have a question. I just wanted to hype up the book a little bit more. I just love the, as far as first issues go, like, this one did such a great job of like giving you story, but not being like, let's explain who Dracula is. You know what I mean? Like, we got things quickly and it really built nicely, you know, as the kind of intensity turns up. And then you drop a sick last panel and I'm just like at the end of it, like, oh, I can't wait for the next issue. We've read a lot of first issues, so I just wanted to say congrats. It does such a nice job of kind of grabbing you, pulling you in, and then kind of really turning it up at the end and getting you excited for more.
Not to contradict Pete, but I did have one question off the first issue. Who is Dracula?
I feel like
you didn't go to do a good job of explaining who he was in the book, so I was a little lost.
He's got a great mustache. That's all you need.
There we go. That's the important part.
Characteristic. That's all you really need to know.
People think Dracula, they think of mustache.
Mustache, exactly. Yeah. First thing. The first thing I think of when I think of Dracula is that every week on our show, we have and this is true, that was a weird transition, but we have a professional chef down in New Orleans named Brett Macris. He works at an amazing place called Shift. You should definitely visit if you're in New Orleans. And he designs a cocktail based around some of the people we're talking to or their project. So this week he made The Only Good Nazi is a Blood-Drained Dead One.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Yeah. Yes. It is rye whiskey, cherry liqueur, to give it the little red of the blood, sweet vermouth, Angostura bitters, and some chocolate bitters as well. I assume that's because Germans like chocolate and the Nazis. I don't know. But you take all the ingredients, pour them into the mixing glass, stir some more straight into a giant highball with a giant piece of ice shaped like a vampire bat, or just a big ice cube or ball or whatever you have on hand. But a giant piece of ice is best. There you go.
That looks wonderful. All things I have in my bar, and that's absolutely
perfect.
Make one and tell me how it is. Yeah.
Well, there you go. The cocktail for Operation Iron Coffin. Now, Kenny, I did want to ask you, because you actually have another book that I believe is coming out tomorrow called Superman Father of Tomorrow for DC Comics. This is the first of a new slate of Elseworlds books. Did they approach you? Let me take a step back. I've been very curious about these because, like, all three of them seem like different riffs on what if somebody else was in Superbad's baby rocket? Like, we've got Supergirl and baby Kal-El jabbed in there in one of them. In yours, we've got Jor-El, not exactly jabbed in there, although the idea is making me laugh that he's like, jabbed in there. But what did they present you with? Were they like, what if this other person came to Earth instead of Kal-El, or was it more open than that?
It was just, do you want to do an Elseworlds book?
Oh, and really?
I was like, sure. Okay. And they were like, what do you want to do? And I was like, who doesn't have one right now? And they were like, please no more Batman. And I was like, fine, like, good on me. And so it was just one of the ideas that I pitched. So I had no idea about any of the other Elseworlds books or anything, but my pitch was essentially, I wanted to do like a Tom Strong, like Reed Richards take on Superman, like leaning more into the science aspect, to him be a super scientist, kind of like the old Doc Savage, like pulp stuff. And then as my editor and I were talking about, we're like, oh, what if it wasn't him though? Like, what if it was his dad? Cause his dad was a scientist. And from there, that's where we spun out. Like, what does the whole DC universe look like when there's a Superman who lands, who has like horrible survivor's guilt, isn't an adult, and approaches problems more from an analytical side. So like, rest assured, he still punches dudes, but his approach is way more like a Reed Richards or Tony Stark of like, what can I build to help make sure either this doesn't happen again or nobody gets hurt. So that was a really cool impetus to like build the universe around. And then I always love with Elseworlds stuff, like how the ripple effect changes everything. So I'm really excited for people to read the first issue. I can't wait till they read and see what other crazy shit we did, because it goes into a direction that I don't think anybody's going to expect. And I think it's going to have some cool action figures if they make them. That's basically how I feel. I love about that. It. I'm really excited about it, what we got to do with it.
What do you think we actually talk about this a lot on the show, or at least I talk about it a lot. What do you think the difference is between Elseworlds and What If? Or is there any?
I think What If really leans on the, you know, everything happened up to a point and it's just this one tiny little moment thing that's different. Whereas Elseworlds, it feels like a bigger kind of swing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause if you think of like a Marvel What If sort of thing, it's like, you know, what if, this came up recently today, like what if the Avengers helped in Annihilation? Like that's like a popular one. But with Elseworlds, it can be a lot more open. Because I also did that one DC mech where it was a complete different alternate universe where they're mech pilots instead of traditional superheroes. Yeah, sort of core, it can either be something more like, what if somebody else was in this position? Or what if fundamentally the whole universe works differently? So without being in charge of anything, that's the best guess I can give someone who's not officially on the payroll and is just a freelancer. That's probably the best answer, how I would sort it in my head if I was pitching for them.
And in this book, since he lands at Ma and Pa Kent's farm, are we going to see them swaddling him in a crib at any point?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's some weird adult diaper stuff going on. No, awesome. It's
picking it up for sure.
He's way more of like an adopted brother to them, which is also a whole complete different dynamic where Ma and Pa Kent are just, they're John and Martha to him. Like, they're his adopted brother and sister. And that relationship plays a lot in how he makes decisions and eventually why he becomes Superman.
Yeah. Well, very excited to check that out. Let's get back to Operation Iron Coffin. So, as I mentioned, the final order cutoff is June 1st. It's going to hit stores on July 8th. Obviously, we talked about a lot about the book already, and it's still a ways off. But what else do you want to tease, if anything?
Sure. So one thing that I think I'll tease is, like I said, this has, even though the visual hook is incredible, like, we worked really hard just as much to make the emotional stuff really heavy. So the violence in it is top notch. Like Tyrell goes like full stop.
Truly.
It's insane. It's so good. Every time I saw a page, my mouth like dropped like a Tex Avery cartoon, how good it looked. But we did the same amount of work and care on the emotional stuff. There's a really horrific sort of scene where Dracula realizes what the Faustian bargain has gotten him. And it's a very emotional, quiet, somber scene between him and some other characters. And I'm just as excited for people to see Tyrell do that stuff in multiple issues as well as the violent stuff. And also, like, he's not just going to fight regular Nazis. There's some cool Metal Gear and Vampire Hunter D inspired villains that plays really heavily into the occult and super science like myth around World War II. Like, we both love pulp sort of stories, so we injected some of that kind of Hellboy sort of thing in it, where we played up a bit of the myth and legend around it. The only spot we didn't do that with, which was really important to us, was all of the realistic horrors and tragedies of the war. Like, we very much respect how much of a horrible tragedy it was and everything that happened with the concentration camps and the Jewish people. Like, we wanted to make sure that none of that had any of the fantastical elements. All of that's reserved for the crazy baddies and stuff. So we did some fun research on some of the rumors, because some of them, I think some people will spot some of the supernatural rumors from World War II that we play on. There's a couple that don't get as much play that we expanded on. Like, the train is based on a real gold train that went missing around that time. And then there's a couple of like science fiction-y sort of things of like rumored weapons they were going to work on. I think that also leads into Terrell, the design of the train, because you pulled stuff from that too.
Yeah, I mean, it's based on a theoretical train as well, this supersized Nazi train, and I kind of just made it look even more dangerous than I thought it initially looked. But it's been, you know, it's like, this is one of those comics that is a blast for us to make, and I feel like it's perfect for comic readers, right? I really think that comic readers are more media literate and more abreast of like different kinds of movies and different kinds of books. And this sort of pulls together so many of those loves, and we do it in a way that only comics can do it. And that's what has been exciting for me working on it. And I think, and I hope that that's what's going to be exciting for readers, is that it feels very uniquely comics, not just in the concept, but in the execution.
Awesome.
You're talking about how you had to like dig deeper to find these more occult, stranger things that have been covered. Where is there still a source of like weird World War II shit to find? I feel like it's been the most like scoured thing for all genre.
I just had my nose plastered up against the monitor and was reading 100 lines of code like the Matrix. I just kept looking up. I'd mainly try to look at things that were not completely explained, so that it was just rumors. So it was like, oh, well, no one's ever done anything with that. Like, I'll take that and kind of spin it out into something. So that's where at least I found some stuff.
Right.
Cool.
Well, it definitely comes through in the book, which is great. Everybody should pick it up. Kenny, Tyrell, thank you so much for coming on. Looking forward to riding this train all the way to the end.
Yes. Thank you for having us, guys. It was really fun talking to you.
All right. Great. Have a good night. Oop, I cut him off. There we go. Sorry.
I think he was
going to
say take it easy, but he could have said anything.
He could have said sleazy.
He could have said evil.
Oh, no. That would be really bad. I know I just said this, but again, Operation Iron Coffin from IDW FOC is June 1st, and the book hits on July 8th. Check it out.
That book hits all right.
It sure does.
Like an iron coffin.
Hey,
and Pete, you bought an iron coffin to sleep in because of this book, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's just it's cooler in the summertime.
Yeah. Yep, that's one of the main things I would say about sleeping inside iron is it's cooler in the summertime.
I will say it's cool until it's very not. And then it's literally an oven.
And you know what actually is always cool is your audience questions. And for audience questions, all you got to do is drop a question in the comments and we will get to it. It can be about absolutely anything. In the meantime, while we're waiting for those comments and questions and complaints probably to come in.
Just a couple of complaints.
Just put them in. Let us know. We'll get to them. What are you guys drinking? Pete, what are you drinking?
A little Lagunitas daytime. You know, it's daytime somewhere. Nice. Might as well drink.
When are we going to get the summer bevs in, Pete? You've been really on that daytime for a while.
Yeah, it's true.
What do you have, a 5,000 pack?
Exactly. They're cheaper in bulk.
You get the beer truck pulled up to the LePage residence again, a place we don't know about. I'm drinking a Boulevardier.
What does that mean?
It's a like a bourbon Negroni, essentially.
Hmm.
Sounds very good. Maybe I should start drinking again.
I've never seen that. Was a genuine thirst right there. Wow. I saw it on your face, and yeah, I know.
Yum, yum.
Phony. You can get the phony version now.
Yeah. I don't know about those. I don't know. There's a place called Buzz Free in my neighborhood that I pass by, and I'm like, I feel very dubious about this whole concept. Like, you have a bottle of bourbon, quote unquote, that has no alcohol in it. I don't know.
What do you? Well, no one's lying to you. It is strange to do. You're replicating something that is very the opposite, but
yeah,
that is the idea.
This is from Schoeckler. What are your fave versions of Dracula?
Well, definitely this book is up there. This was a lot of fun. It was a cool Dracula. I definitely liked this kind of take on it. I thought it was an interesting, you know, I've seen a lot of different versions of Dracula, but I thought this would fun to ride with for a while, for sure.
I agree with you. I really enjoyed the book, but what do you think? Dracula as protagonist is always a weird, I feel like, yeah, it's hard to make it. He's such a good, he's the one of the ultimate villains. To make Dracula hero is a little tricky, but I think this book does a great job of it.
Yeah, there was, we've had them on a couple of times now, but Matt Wagner and Kelly Jones's Dracula retelling, which doesn't necessarily make him into a hero, but it does give a lot of backstory. I feel like that's very interesting for people, you know, to not necessarily try to humanize him, but figure out why the monster became the monster. This doesn't necessarily do that, or at least it doesn't necessarily do that in the first issue, but... I don't know. I like that. I not my fave version of Dracula necessarily, but Kelly Jones's Dracula is very cool.
Very good. Dracula Dead and Loving It, Alex. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Really, number one.
Of course. I always like
Frank Langella.
I want to say one of the Draculas I liked maybe the least was, I think it was the movie Dracula 2000, where the whole reveal was that Dracula was Judas, and it was rooted in all this, like,
I thought you were going to say Transylvania 65,000. I was like, oh, that was a great movie.
Monster Squad.
Ooh, nice.
Another one.
Wolfman's got nards, right, Pete?
Oh, come on.
Very good. I mean, like...
Also, Batman versus Dracula has been a fun comic books, and also the Batman the Animated Series did a fun Dracula kind of team up ish.
The ultimate catch all is my dog is a vampire. I was going to say one more. American Vampire is
A
book that not necessarily Dracula, but something that seeing Raphael Albuquerque's art more so recently has been reminding me of how great that series was.
Yeah. You just brought up Derek saying Count Chocolate is the best. Also not exactly Dracula, but I'll give a shout out to Serial, the book from Ahoy Comics by Mark Russell, which took a more serious take of those Serial mascots.
I thought you were just going to shout out Serial. I was all about
the
it. Podcast? I was like, hell yeah. No,
yeah,
just
Serial, the concept. Alex is a Dracula for Serial. So no Serial's going to get through without his teeth
scratching at the window, being like, give me your Lucky Charms, blood. Yeah. This is from Crispy Cartoons. Anyone make it down to Jack Kirby Way yet? I don't know if you guys know about this, but yes, you are wearing a Kirby t-shirt that is not a Street Pete.
Yeah, that's true.
And Street Pete. We're stuck. So Jack Kirby Way, if you don't know, they briefly renamed the corner of Delancey and Essex, I believe, in New York. As Jack Kirby Way last year when Fantastic Four First Steps came out. Everybody loved it. It was like, just do it. Just make it permanent. So they did. They didn't actually rename the street, but they put an honorary street sign there. There was a big ceremony last week. It's great, actually. I haven't been down there, but if you do go down, it's exactly where Jack Kirby would want it, on the same corner as a two-story tall McDonald's.
Yes.
So, which he loved. He loved that. Can you stop changing that while we're talking about the thing, Pete?
Pete's.
I know you want to move on to the next thing, but we're still reading the responding to this comment.
The Jack Kirby Museum was down there where the street was.
Yes, they have a exhibit going. I think it's not the American Jewish Museum, because that's not what it is. It's like some sort of Jewish museum. They have a Kirby exhibit going on right now until November, I want to say, in honor of the street sign.
I believe that was a pop-up they had down there, and then they bounced around. I talked to, I forget his name, but the guy behind that, Nat Towson will know, because I was talking to him with him about how the Kirby Museum has gone through so many different phases, but like just still there's such an interest in it, and they're just always finding new avenues, including Jack Kirby Way, to explore that.
I thought maybe you were going to get a recipe for boiling gloves from Nat Townsend.
From Nat. Yeah. He keeps that. That's a time-honored, that's a Towson family.
I got to tell you, I am so eager for Nat to die so we can get that recipe in the Nat Townsend Museum. That's going to be a beautiful part of the exhibit.
Sorry, I just clipped out. I'm so eager for Nat to die. And that's it's a crazy idea.
Derek Maynard says we will be covering Spider-Man Noir in Marvel Vision. Justin and I briefly talked about this, and I was going to bring it up to you guys later. I'd like to. Do you guys want to?
Oh, you would?
Yeah, I'd love that.
Oh.
I would love to.
Because here's the thing. This show is going to be either... I think it's going
to
be
definitely
weird. Should
we do two? One in black and white, one in regular?
Yeah, great.
Yeah. We the should podcast,
do one in
you
old-timey accents and one in regular accents.
Yeah. I watch this show, see?
Yeah. People will love that, except for us. We'll hate each other by the end of that.
Well, that's not different.
I feel like this show is going to be capital W weird either way, and either it's weird good or weird bad, and that's fine. I think
what?
That's a good...
Nicolas Cage project weird? What are you talking about?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. He's got it on lock.
I've seen it, so I can tell you.
Don't.
Take off your headphones, Pete. Earmuffs, Pete.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
Got him again.
Yes, it's weird. I mean, I I thought it was a weird positive I erred on the side of just because I was like, this is kind of goofy. I'm having a good time. I was very surreptitiously mentioning in our comic book club Discord a couple of, like a week back after I'd seen it, telling Joe Lead in there who likes cheesier stuff that I think she'll like this because it's definitely like, it's not all up Batman 66, but it's definitely like adjacent enough to, that I'm surprised that it's on the air in 2026, because it also, it starts off at a place where you're like, oh, okay, you're very effectively aping film noir. And then it just becomes more and more Nicolas Cage as it goes. Oh, like he just, you can feel the rest of the, you can feel him like pushing his head through the show.
Do you feel like the people when they're making it, they're like, we can't resist him. He's too
100%. What,
he's
like, it's this
whole thing.
It's this insane gravitational pull while you're watching the show. I think, like, not to spoil it too much, where I was just rewatching the last episode before we got on here, and I'm like, what? Nobody, every, like, everybody in the show is looking at him.
But it's not like he's a bad, there's a lot of actors that are divas that try to bend a project. Everyone hates them. Nicolas Cage, I feel like, is, Nicolas Cage is someone who the show bends around him, and everyone's like, cool. Okay.
Totally. I am 100% a Nicolas Cage apologist. Like, I would rather watch Nicolas Cage be absolutely batshit in something than than somebody be like, oh, I did a very straightforward Spider-Man noir, you know?
Yeah.
That's more
especially
fun.
You cast him, that's what you're asking for. But honestly, I feel like at the end of his career, we will look at Nicolas Cage. I bet it'll be an absolutely even 50-50 split. Movies that were good and movies that were absolutely insane.
But he's always watchable in them, even if it's absolutely insane. 100%. Like, he's great.
Yeah.
Pete, you can put back on your headphones.
Pete's stressing out.
He's stressing out, Pete. Pete, do you need to take that phone call? You could have taken it with your headphones on.
I was calling you, Pete, to say you could put your headphones back.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Great. Okay, here we go. Joey Gross says, pizza challenge, garbage plates, New Orleans eating. If you had a food beverage review site or video channel, what's your food topic?
Well, based on that, absolute garbage. We are trash monsters who will eat anything that's unhealthy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I tried to like eat my way through Philadelphia as far as cheesesteaks and try them all, and I gained a lot of weight, and it was... I started to smell like cheese. It was kind of a weird thing. I was oozing whiz.
You wouldn't do a candy podcast or review site or something, Pete?
Don't play with my emotions. You know I want to do that.
I know. That's why I'm saying to answer this question that we're being asked right now. Because I'll tell you guys, we did this Candyman podcast about Sweet Tooth. And we would talk about an episode of Sweet Tooth, and then we would review a piece of candy. And Pete liked it so much, he was like, hey, should we review candy on these other podcasts as well? Yeah. Even though they had nothing, he was like, on our Doom Patrol podcast, he's like, what if we review a piece of candy every episode? What
Ooh,
if we
a piece do that? Of candy.
Yeah. Have a little Ooh. More candy? A little more
Ooh,
excuse to have
candy?
Is that all right? Justin, if you're going to do something, what would be your food topic?
I mean, pickles. For one.
Oh, yeah. We already kind of did that.
We did that once, like 15 years ago.
Yep. It still counts.
So it definitely covered that. But also, like, I'm a big, like, regional. I get to a place, I'm like, what's the thing that you do here? And I want to eat that even if I don't really like it.
It would be
I
fun.
Like most everything.
It would be fun to take you guys around Rochester to the different plates and kind of talk to you guys about it.
Just different garbage plates?
Yeah, I mean, different. Yeah, like it's a every kind of diner or restaurant has its own plate. And so, like, they call them trash plates or sloppy plates, different kind of variations. And it's fun to go and see the like that restaurant's take on something that's, you know.
That would be part of a special 12-part event called The Death of Comic Book Club.
Yes!
It's Die Happy.
What trash night is in each neighborhood.
Yes. I used to, back at the dawn of YouTube, I used to do a video series called I Am Trash Can, where I would have people send me things that they wanted me to eat, and then I'd eat them and review them. I don't know
what?
If it exists anymore, but
I
did
that for a while.
Wait. I Am Trash Can, and you would just eat, like if someone sent you a printer cartridge, you would eat it?
No, not like a printer cartridge, but it was mostly like the weirdest candy possible that they could find for the most part, sometimes chips or things like that.
I Am Trash Can.
Yeah, I did a couple of videos. It was mostly with Elephant Larry, my sketch group. We had a group blog back when group blogs first popped up on Blogspot. And so my recurring feature was I Am Trash Can, which occasionally I do on video. So there you go.
I love that.
Yes.
Let's bring that back. That's easy.
Yeah, no problem. I do it every day for free in my own house. Greater Good says, what's on Pete's top Nick Cage movies list?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, Face Off is definitely up there, but Raising Arizona is also really good. It's tough.
Peggy Sue Got Married, obviously.
No. What's the Air one?
Con Air.
Yeah, Con Air was up there.
Face Off?
I already said that.
Oh, you did. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about the prequel, Face On?
Not as much of a fan.
It's about his birth when they got his face on.
Feet Don't Fail Me Now.
Didn't he do a weird one where he was a Dracula or something? Where he was a vampire?
Yes, with Nicholas Holt.
Cage and Holt together.
Yeah, it was called, it was a one word name movie.
Gary.
No.
That was fun.
Faster than we can Google.
Great list. David Quinley says, I haven't seen it yet, but where are you guys on new Star Wars? The reviews seem very mixed. Have you guys seen Mando and Grogu yet?
I can't wait. I'm going, but I haven't gotten yet.
We were, again, talking about this on the Discord quite a bit, and there's definitely some people who are very negative on it, but the majority reaction is the same reaction I was very surprised to find myself having, which, Pete, take off your headphones. Jesus, it's fine. Jesus. I'm sorry we have opinions on our podcast
This one's out, too.
So that's on him. I don't know. I had a fine time. Like, that's not like the arousing endorsement for it or anything like that.
No.
But I think that's the main reaction I've seen from people. It's like, I don't know. I had fun. Period. Yeah. And I wish the movie was going for more? For sure. I always do. But in terms of, like, if it's hot, it's hot out. You go in, get a big soda and some candy and some popcorn and just hang out. And that's it.
And you're talking about it being in a nice room, though.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't want to get, like, too deep
your
about...
Your review involves just sitting down in, a retirement home. So just to be clear, what's happening here?
I feel like we used to have more tolerance for summer movies. You know, the sort of movie was like, this was made for air conditioning.
I mean, the Transformers franchise was built on this.
100%. And I don't... Obviously, like, I care very deeply about entertainment and what entertainment could do and be pushed forward. But I do think, like, we've lost something a little bit in terms of allowing ourselves to be like, well, that was dumb. I had a nice time. That's it. It's not part of a greater franchise. It's not launching anything. It's not part of an interconnected universe. It's just, like, 2 hours where I was sweating my balls off outside. I went inside, cooled down, watched some stuff blow up, and it was cool.
I mean, I agree with you in general that like movies don't need to do everything. Like, I don't need this to be like a thinking person's movie at the same time it's a big blockbuster Michael Bay thing, at the same time it's launching the franchise and reinvigorating the Star Wars universe. So I agree with you on that front. But I can't say I'm excited to see it because I feel
on
like
the front of it has bad dialogue and there's no emotional
that's
stakes.
That's where I'm going to have some questions. That's where I'm going to be raising my hand.
Yeah, I'm not going to apologize for anything this movie does wrong because it's not a good movie. But
great.
Anyway. Grogu, cute.
There you go.
Who
can ask
Pete, you can put your headphones back on again.
Pete, you can cool your balls off.
Yeah. Yeah, as Derek says, movies are an excuse to cool off my balls. They actually added that in 4DX. There's now a little holder they put where you can put your balls.
Don't trust it, man. Don't trust it.
They iced it down. What do you think? They're going to take your sperm?
No, I just think those 4DX is like a roller coaster of pain. And if you trust them with your balls, you're going to be sorely mistaken.
It's weird, Pete. I bought like a quart of your sperm online. I don't know who's selling it. If it's not you, now I feel weird.
It's definitely not me unless they're taking it at night.
The AMC in Times Square, I believe, has a Pete Sperm freestyle now.
Freestyle? What is that word?
Not where I thought you were going to go, and that's extra gross, and I love it. Let me try Pete. I hit Coke. I hit Fanta. I'm going to try pressing Pete.
Oh, that's... Is this a dirty soda? Is this what dirty soda is? It's
definitely what that is.
Well, anyway, let's go to the... Oh, wait, we got one last one in here. That's good. Let's not have done that. Christian S. Lewis says, how do you guys feel about comic book to film adaptations that change the characters in casting or changing the story?
I think a little bit more charitable, a little bit more on board with it than others. Like, I feel like, especially if they really make some strong choices that feel justified for a larger story they're telling. I mean, we could talk about this in a lot of TV shows. I feel like Wonder Man did this. Watchmen, the HBO show, made a lot of sort of big swings that were not at all based on the original storyline, but were excellent and exciting. So I'm in.
Yeah, I agree. I'm in too, as long as it feels like it's still the thing. You know what I mean? If it really still feels like it, just kind of some tweaks to have some fun with some different things. But
I think go for the medium that you're going for. I've said this a million times on the show, but just to ape what you're saying, Justin, like a comic book is a comic book and a film is a film. And they shouldn't be the same thing, because when they are the same thing, to use the example of Watchmen, it doesn't work because you're just trying to repeat the thing that happened previously versus figure out, why are we making this film? What is this film saying? What is different than the comic book? It's part of the reason, not to slag off something that I know a lot of people like, but it's part of the reason that I can't get into a lot of the DC animated movies, because they're just adapting the story when the thing that is usually good about those things is the synthesis between the writing and the art and the way they come together. And they're explicitly ignoring the art in favor of their more generic style. So,
right.
I don't know about that, but I think 300 is a good example of kind of taking things panel to panel, shot to shot. And it's pretty awesome to see the movie version of it.
Except I would argue that they made it into a movie by changing and adapting the visual style, so it's incredibly unique. Like, they are doing the panels from the book, but I wouldn't look at that and be like, that's a comic book. It is a movie that moves like a movie and feels like a movie.
Yes, but I think it's a...
What, do you want someone flipping in front of the camera? Like, what?
That's, Pete, that's what you want.
Yeah, you've said you asked for that this literally podcast every podcast.
No, I know, but you're saying it like it's... I think sometimes it's a cool way to bring something and honor it by not changing it and trying to do it as...
I think what Alex is saying is they took the idea of comic books and elevated it in a way by making... They treated the film in a certain way to make it look this like hyper-real, hyper-masculine way. So they were adapting. They were making a strong choice in adaptation, I think.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. Stanley asks, how about the Knicks' success? Unfortunately,
come
I
on.
Think you're in the wrong chat here.
Come
Stanley.
On.
I'm sorry about that. Nobody has any opinions about that or anything. So
this Pete, are you a true Knicks fan, or are you just like...
Yes, I am. Come on, bro.
Nice. I don't know what that means.
Dude, the old Larry Johnson move? Come on, man. Larry Johnson back in the day?
I don't know what this is, but it seems racist.
It's LJ. He used to do this after he would gank a huge shot.
Gank. This town's going to flip.
Oh, yeah. It's going to burn to the ground, man. You guys should run for your lives.
That's why, Pete, I think you need to do, you need to experience New York. I know you've been talking about coming here. You should get here before the Knicks fans burn it down. Hurry.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You're going to want to try some of that Sparrow pizza you're always talking about.
I'll take you to the AMC Empire 25 in Times Square. They
Who's your favorite Nick, Justin?
You've got to try out.
What's that?
Do you have a favorite era or a favorite Nick? I mean, obviously, Brunson is the mayor of New York City right now. And the
right now,
king of the city.
We saw the New Yorker cover, perhaps, with him literally towering over all of the Knicks legends of the past. I mean, I'm not a crazy NBA guy, but I have been watching the Knicks. It's just unbelievable the way they've absolutely crushed this last week. So.
Yeah, it's been impressive.
And this is the one with the guy from Children of Men, right? The Nick.
I got it. Yeah, I got that reference. Yeah.
Great. Great. Well, more references to come as we move to our next
OG
section,
Ananobi,
which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to the star of trivia, Pete LePage.
I was trying to get rid of that. I was trying to get rid of that scroll that's going on the bottom there. But
No, it's permanent now.
Yeah, I can't get
scroll
rid of that.
Or scroll, you think?
Yeah, that's a fun bit. Shout out to the... to the chat, making those bits. This is a part we give back to the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free to Midtown Comics Online. Because if you had $25, you'd probably want to go to a comic book shop, you know? Mm-hmm. Support comics. So all we need is a volunteer.
I'd
want
to give it to charity, but whatever you want, Pete.
No, well, yeah. That's nice, too.
Someone will raise their hand to them.
Important is that you're supporting things. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we just need comic book shops or sick children. Same diff.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but it's nice to support things.
Same diff. Quote unquote, Pete LePage.
Nope.
Wow. Star of trivia.
I do not sign off on that. How do we update this ticker parade thing that's going on at the bottom so it doesn't say that anymore?
Ticker parade. Wow. It's interesting, Pete. You've really cracked how to show comments on the screen, but not any other part of this. And honestly, don't press any buttons because you're going to...
Yeah, I was already pissing them off with it earlier, so I don't want to continue.
Yes, Schreikler, wasn't there someone from last week who was going to do this week's? I agree there was. I guess maybe they're not in the chat. I think we're holding out hope for this person to come back.
Yeah, or Schreikler, you could do it since you're talking with us while we're looking for somebody to talk to.
Keep ribbing Pete.
Stanley,
no
that hurts.
Problem.
Oh, man.
Wow.
That's crazy
where that came from.
Man, I don't like
this. I think
this
AI.
Hey, Schreikler's in. Schreikler's in. Why don't you remove this Chiron and Schreikler? Okay. David Quinley. I think you're...
Just
David
a
Quinley,
little too late.
Yeah. All right, Schreikler. Today's trivia is about the comic Corpse Knight and a small nod to the legend... Ernie Anestos, R.I.P. Here we go. Question number one. Who is the writer behind this so far amazing comic, Corpse Knight? Is it A, Michael Chavez? B, send in that divine shoemaker. Actually, it's C, Devin Schumacher.
I forgot to change the music. I'm sorry.
Oh, there we go. You're too busy writing horrible things about me on the...
Those were pure compliments, Pete.
Mm-hmm.
A?
A is correct. Here we go. Question number two. Who does the hauntingly badass art on this comic, Corpse Knight? Is it A, Matthew Roberts? B, whatever your hotel is mid, you should be licking these nuts? Or C, Lincoln D. Hyatt?
Oh, man. It's great. You really get to see the architecture of Pete's brain.
It's wonderful.
Street Pete.
I've really gone into dad joke mode, I think.
I wouldn't call it dad joke.
A again? Is it A again?
A is correct. Here we go. Last one. Question number three. Fun fact, the writer is also known for blank. Is it A, directing horror movies? B, Simpson? Did you take the ham? C, Bart Hamatake? Got him.
you're beyond dad jokes. You're in a phase of you're doing backflips. You're in. This is a. We could chart the progression.
Yes.
Yeah. Over time.
This is like cocaine fueled dad jokes. Is what it is.
Oh, well, yeah. Thank you. What a lovely compliment.
Dad jokes, if left to grow in a lab for years.
Metastasize.
Yeah.
Schreckler, figure it out. Come on.
Schreckler really holding his
end. Schreckler's really trying to.
Yeah, I feel just, like he's trying to crack. He's trying to crack the.
A?
Trying
to crack is it
the,
A?
The,
it
the
is
Ernie
A.
Ernesto's.
All right. Yeah. There we go. As we. Well, not as we all know. Schreckler, shoot us an email and we will get your $25 gift card to Midtown Comics. Pete, what is the secret movie you're referencing?
Of course, we're talking about the 1996 Oscar winning movie, Independence Day.
Oscar winning? For Best Picture?
Nope.
I don't think so.
For effects.
Okay.
And Ernie Ernesto's, Pete, if you can tell who he is.
He was an old news guy.
Ernie famous Ernesto's. Famous for saying, isn't he the one who was famous for saying, keep on fucking that chicken live on air? That's not a joke. That's real.
Wow. He did that?
Do you not know that story?
No.
Well, why don't you look that up while I tee up that new comic books are coming out tomorrow. We're looking forward to them. Pete, we haven't read any of these yet, but what are you looking forward to haven't read yet?
Well, obviously, I'm looking forward to Corpse Night number 2. I can't wait to read that. I'm also really looking forward to Infernal Hulk number 7. I've been loving that. Can't wait to see what's going to happen in that. And I think this absolutely has been consistently amazing. Absolute Wonder Woman. I mean, that shit fucking rocks, you know?
All great choices. Justin, are you ready or should I?
You can go first. I just dropped the YouTube link to the video of him saying, keep on fucking that chicken. It's very funny. Okay.
All right. Well, so a couple of things that I'm looking forward to. Look forward to Doom Quest number 1. This is a 10-part series by Ryan
Doom
North.
Quest.
And I've really been enjoying Ryan North's Fantastic Four run. So I'm very interested to check this out and to call something else out that I was interested in is Red Roots number 2 from Image Comics.
Yeah.
That first issue was absolutely wild. Very curious to see if they can keep it up with issue number 2. Justin, what about you?
Really good. Did someone say 5 Gears in Reverse? The Ed Brubaker Sean Phillips book is dropping. New OGN from the gods is coming out tomorrow. Definitely check that out if you like any sort of crime, if you're a criminal or aspiring criminal or just a fan of crime. Also got to shout out Swamp Thing 89 number 2. Rick Veitch bringing back his Lost series from the 80s. Enjoyed the first one. Excited. We interviewed him ages ago about just what it means to be doing this. It was a really cool interview if you want to go back and check that out. I think there was one more. I'm just excited for The Flash. I feel like The Flash has been so refreshing lately.
Who
we talk
are
often
you?
About how we put our stacks together. And The Flash has become my like palate cleanser book to just sort of jump into and be like, ooh, a little fresh hit, a little energy in the middle of the stack. Definitely check that out.
And all those books and many more are coming out in our, we're going to be reviewing them in our Stack podcast, which comes out Wednesday 9 a.m., both in the Stack feed and the Comic Book Club feed. So do check that out. And folks, that is it for this week's show. Thank you to Kenny Porter and Tyrell Cannon for coming on to talk about IDW's Operation Iron Coffin. That
you almost said Operation Ivy, it seemed like.
Maybe, I don't know. Hit stores on July 8th, so check that out. You can also order it at your comic book store. Try to order it before June 1st.
Yeah, it's
so
awesome.
In stock. Next week on the show, Kurt Pyers is going to be back, moving from vampires to Kurt Pyers, to talk about his new Oni Press book, Super Mondo Mega Mutts.
Nice.
So that should be pretty sweet. Comic Book Club News, our daily news show, Monday through Friday, every day of the week. Let's Hear It for the Boys, our boys podcast. We just wrapped up the final season of that show, so you can check that out. As we talked about earlier, Marvel Vision will be aiming to talk about Spider-Noir in some capacity, TBD, so stay tuned for that. But patreon.com/comicbookclub to support the show and all the shows we do, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club.
Occasion of the fatal.